started working as a bookseller then. I've worked throughout the industry, president of the Canadian Booksellers Association. I created Kobo Writing Life, self-publishing platform for Kobo, which is Canada's answer to Kindle. And I currently work part-time as a director of business development for Draft to Digital, which is the world's premier self-publishing platform for authors. I've got about 35 books out myself. I've edited about a dozen anthologies, and I am honored that I am just been, you know, added to the roster of writer judges here at Writers of the Future.
So, I mean, you got to meet the class this year. So what do you think? I mean, so I was here last year, but I'm going to let you start and I'll tell you last year. But what do you think about this year's class?
A great group of writers. I've only had a chance to interact with most of the writers, but some really great people there. I know a couple of them from other writers' workshops. It was so, and I know that they're good writers, so it was great to see that they made it as winners and are here this week. But I can't even imagine how overwhelmed they are with the bombardment of information that they're getting.
And so, well, you know, now that you said that, I bet you knew a couple of them. I have talked to a few of the writers this year. Well, all of them, actually, but still. A couple of them have had mentors that are actually judges here. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not get you into the contest. Now, I don't want anybody to get any funky monkey ideas.
Yeah.
You can know whoever you want here. You're not getting into the contest. And first, you got to go to writerfutures.com. You got to submit it. It's, everything is blind judged. I know all the judges and everything is. I said, so when you're thing goes out, and you got to go read the rules because it tells you how to submit it, and there's a specific way you got to submit it. So when your story goes out to the judges, if you're that good, it's a number, and that doesn't tell them what sex you are, doesn't tell them what color you are, doesn't tell them anything. They get it, they read it, and they judge it just on its merits alone, which is one of my favorite things about this contest, because frankly, there's some other contests that we're not going to get into that, but there's some funky monkey stuff goes on. So now you're here, you enjoyed it. So you've known John any time? Or?
I came to Writers of the Future 10 years ago as a keynote speaker.
Oh, cool.
And they'd asked me to do a talk on the future of publishing and my predictions. I predicted, I said, it's going to be difficult to tell, but one thing I can tell you is the future of publishing is going to be more collaborative than ever before. And lo and behold, several of the writer judges have proven that. By some of the, you know, Kickstarter and that very collaborative publishing process that they've been involved in. So, and I've known John and Emily and the team for years. I've connected with them at book fairs around the world, see them at different writery conferences. And so it's great to be coming home.
You know, I know John for about 5.5, almost 6 years now. And poor John had to put up with me the first year. I was horrible to them.
Yeah.
We're good friends now. I was horrible to them. Well, I'll tell you after we're done, but it was a lot of fun. So now I want to ask this, because I ask all the new judges, I ask everybody this these days, because we have AI now.
Yeah.
And I personally had to deal with AI with what we do on the networking stuff. And one of the winners here, Jeff Weiner, came in one day, just a couple of years back, and he said, look, I'm going to talk. He called me and told me specifically he wanted to talk about AI. And at that time, nobody was talking about it. I started thinking. So I called John after this. I said, bleep, bleep, what the bleep, bleep, bleep are we going to do about this bleep, bleep in AI, John?
Yeah.
I said, it's writing stories. Because what he did was, he said, I'm going to write you, I'm going to make you, well, first he made me a banner, which we're using this banner, by the way, for the one of my shows.
Okay.
It's a beautiful banner. It took him all of about 8 seconds to make it. And I was impressed. I was really impressed by it. And I was like, damn, but you know, you can't own it because it's you can't copyright it. But with the stories, I see it's a little bit different. Sometimes, so he was doing a, my brain is going to Hannah, not a magazine, you know, with the little bubbles on it. What are you calling me? So they write the story, and the story is always put inside of little bubbles, and it's always artwork with it. Marvel's had DC's.
Yeah. I know what you mean, but I don't know what they're called.
I'm sorry, ladies. This is something easy. It's just blowing out of my mind. But so he made it there. I mean, he puts it about 3 paragraphs.
Yeah.
So this thing goes off. So it starts making it, and it's putting the artwork in there, and it's making the bubbles with all the little stories in it. So I sat there and read it while we were on air, and he was talking, and it was actually pretty good for just some random BS. It was actually pretty good. So we stopped, and I said, well, how is this going to work out in the future for writers? I mean, can you just go write in 8 or 9 like, paragraphs and you're going to have a novel? I mean, can't work like that. I mean, yeah. I've read some, how can I say this politely? I have read some stuff that I would consider to be a novel that was created by AI, which was, so the beginning would be okay. The middle was just complete and utter jibber jabber. And then the end was okay. So you could tell, you knew there wasn't a human writing this because no human right. would put what was in the middle of that. So, I mean, do you think this is going to be a problem in the future for us or?
Well, I think it's going to be a challenge, a definite challenge. It's as all new technologies are. I mean, publishers saw ebooks as a threat, and
ebooks are a threat.
And well, they're only a threat to a type of industry or a type of of publishing. They're an opportunity for access, for availability, for more people to be able to read. And every ebook is a large print book, for example. So I think with AI, there's going to be challenges, and we probably can't even foresee half the challenges. But the other thing I think about is it can be a tool that can help writers. I mean, I use Pro Writing Aid on my manuscripts before I send them to a human editor, because Pro Writing Aid uses generative AI script and fix a bunch of mistakes that I made. Me and my editor, the hassle of my editor having to tell me again, you repeated this word too much, or you did this, or whatever. So I think there's ways we can leverage them as tools to make us more efficient writers and better writers. What I worry about are the scammers and the lazy people who think they can just write a novel by typing in a prompt. And I've actually seen the evidence of what comes out. And it's like, write me a mystery novel. And what it does is it creates a pretty crappy outline for what a real writer could take and make a good book out of. And people try to publish that as if it's a book because they have no idea what a book is. But the scammers always show up. New technology, they show up. They think they're going to push some buttons and make millions of dollars. And then they go away because they realize it's actually a lot of work. It's a lot of hard work. And work scares scammers and liars and thieves and cheats. So I'm confident that a huge wave of those scammers are going to go looking for the next scam, while the real writers are going to maintain. Now, there's going to be writers who probably adapt the technology to make themselves more efficient. But I think using it as a combination, like an enhancement that can help you, that can make your writing more efficient, that can get your stuff done. So for example, dictating, when Kevin Anderson, friend of mine, dictates, you can use AI transcription of your voice to get the text done faster, which saves him time and money. And then he still has to have a human editor clean it up, but it's way faster than manually transposing it.
I can definitely see it. Oh, and Bruce, it was comic books. Yeah, it finally popped into my head in my old age.
What?
We were talking earlier.
Oh.
So you actually did a good comic book. You know, it's funny to me because I look at these AI programs. A good friend of mine owns a big gaming company in New Orleans. He brought it down. He used to be out here in L.A., but he brought it down in New Orleans. And he told everybody, so it's everybody at $100,000 a year, to whoever you go, as long as you got somebody, you know. So he's always looking for illustrators. He's always looking for writers, and he's always looking for programmers.
Yeah.
So he decided that what he was going to do is he's going to let his people use the AI. He said, I'm not getting rid of any of my artists or any of my authors. He said, what I'm going to do is we're going to work the storyboards out. We're going to figure out what we want. We're going to let them do the first draft, and then we're going to let AI mass produce it. So instead of taking me 4 years to put out a game, I'm going to do it in 14 months.
Yeah.
So he said, it's better for y'all because it's going to be way cheaper on the game, but if people buy a game, it won't be $80. It'll be $40.
Right.
He said, and I can go on to another game. He said, so we're going to see how that works, by the way. He's doing his first one this year. So.
But I love that. Think about the artist who has to do the landscapes and the backgrounds and stuff like that. Remember the old Flintstones cartoon?
Yeah.
And they're driving down the road and it's just the same crappy background over and over and over again. Imagine that laborious noise, which is not the artist's best work. The artist can set it up, train the AI to continue that and develop a changing landscape. And focus on what's important, which is the focus of the material. So I think having an artist using the AI like that, that enhances the company, that brings down the cost, that allows them to produce more that allows people to get it at a better price. I mean, it seems to be a win-win-win situation.
I think it is. Well, I just heard Congress the other day, because we have to keep up with a lot of one of our other shows. They are going to probably, they said, either this year or next year, they're going to make a law so that AI has to have a code in it so it can be identified as AI.
Right.
So they're not going to, if they find that it's on the web and it doesn't have the code, it's going to be taken down.
Yeah.
So because for the same thing we just talked about, the scammers, they want to be a little code in there. It's kind of like Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin has a code in it so you know what it is. It's going to be, and hopefully it'll do it like that. And and the Illustrators is a little bit different. I noticed I was called in for a program of this weird thing that went on down in Florida. We had these 50 cop cars, and they said these weird things were running around the mall. So they called me up, and he said, I hear you're an expert on AI. I started laughing. I said, first off, there's nobody an expert in video AI right now. And I said, but send it to me. I'll see what I can find out. So I'm looking. The early AI, I noticed when it draws sometimes, especially if it's in a movement, the hands seem to be stretched out. The feet seem to be stretched out. So it's not really that hard. So when I wrote back to the police department, they're like, wow, you figured it out that fast? I said, yeah, it's a scam. It's a hoax. He said, what happened was that somebody made this video, put it online, and then told y'all there was a bunch of aliens running around your mall. Y'all dispatched 50 cop cars and can't find anybody. And I said, where you messed up was if you'd been paying attention, the people on the balcony weren't running and they weren't snapping pictures. They were just doing around the best. Let's be honest, if there was an alien walking through your mall, everybody would be one or the other. He said, oh, I didn't think about it like that. I said, well, you'll think about that in the future.
No kidding.
So I was going to ask you, anything writing this year, just hanging out?
I just released a new book in my Canadian Werewolf series, Urban Fantasy Humor, Only Monsters in the Building. And my werewolf went to a retreat in upstate New York to get group therapy. So he's with a vegan vampire and, you know, just a, you know, fairy that can't fly. So it was a good time.
I'll have you just send me a copy of it.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that. I'm a little weird because I have weird taste in a lot of things. And I do, unfortunately, for when it comes to sci-fi, I really just like kind of, I forget what they call it, but like near now sci-fi.
Yeah, near real time.
I like it, like from now, like Expanse and things like that. But I like things that are close to where we are now because I want to see what people really think our future is going to be like.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're right. And of course, I mean, I remember reading the thing on the 1900s World Fair and all the stuff. The only one thing they got right was a microwave oven.
Yeah.
Yeah. The flying cars. By the way, people, I want my damn Jetson flying cars.
Come on. Why don't we have those?
That's what I'm saying. I was busting on my news show protesting. I said, I'm going to quit doing news. I don't get my damn flying car, man.
Yeah.
This guy sends me this picture of this thing with fast. That is not a flying car. So y'all remember Jetson got in his car, got to work, hit the button, folds up, and goes, I'm flying car.
Yeah.
And especially with the, you know, come on, you know, LA sucks to drive, man. You get a flying car, you get it. So what part of Canada you in?
I'm in Ontario. Oh, so not far from Toronto.
That is where my one of our hosts is, Emily Pisano, who's an intense cook. She actually works with police departments finding missing children. Really gifted woman.
Yeah.
Also, and my, of course, the station manager, I'm going to introduce you to soon. She lives in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
And she is, all I can say is, Michelle, I love you, baby, if you're listening. She's tough, man, but she's very, very fair. But she does. She makes sure everything around my network runs good.
Awesome.
She makes sure we get good host. And she goes through, so you'll be a perfect fit for us. And we'll talk about that another time. But she's really good at what she does. And actually, she likes me. We have... See, Dave Scott's in it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Canadians in the network.
Awesome.
And they're all good hosts. And they all do a good job. So, and we have, you know, somebody said, not all the rest are Americans, but that's not true. We have for at least 4 other countries. We're definitely an international radio network. And you couldn't have done this in the old days because you had to be in studio.
Yeah, you have to be there physically. Yeah.
Today, so our guests and our hosts can be from all around the world. We got 2 really good ones out of the UK. And it's just nice to be able to do it that way. And it's nice to be able to offer different audiences things. Because people say, I have a huge audience in the UK at 1 a.m. in the morning for my other show. And it amazes me they stay up to listen to my mouth at 1 a.m. But there's 200,000 people listening to us over there at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, people, go to bed. No, don't go to bed.
Yeah.
Click on it, then go to bed.
Anything
else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, just it's a real honor to be here. I love the feel of Writers of the Future. I love the fact that this is really about helping, you know, pay it forward to the next generation of writers and discovering that great talent that exists with both writers and illustrators. So happy to be on a panel of judges that I grew up reading and as a bookseller and selling their books to people for years. So it's really kind of surreal in many ways.
I was trying to explain it to a listener the other day, and they go, well, what do you mean? I said, pretty much everybody here has some kind of big credit.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you don't have the Caribbean people there. I said, yeah, 10 Powers. Stranger Todd. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, that's where the Caribbean movies came from. And they're like, what? And I said, Orson Scott Card. I said, then we got the Dune writers here. And I said, we got several other writers here.
Yeah.
I said, of course, we have Dean Leslie Smith, that God probably has more books than God does. I mean, it's ridiculous. So you have so many good prolific writers here, and they're all good, and they got great stories. And so you'll just be just another one in that crowd today. That's got to be an honor in itself.
It really is. And, it really is.
No, Christopher, they're not going to let me be a judge. Chris, before we go, I'm going to be honest with y'all. So every because I read the books every year. John sends them to me to read them. And my other copy, the unsettled copies, over there on my desk. So I read them every year. And every time I pick the winner, it doesn't even get close. Same thing with the illustrators, don't even get close. Matter of fact, I was talking with one of the winners last year, and she goes, you really like work. I said, I think it's the best one here. I said, but I don't want to tell you that. She's like, why? I said, because every time I think somebody's going to win, she said, well, don't jinx me. I have zero art talent because that's not what I do. And Austin, I am writing, but I'm not an author by any means. But I will tell you this, because of this place, I could have never, I've been asked for years and years to write books because I do a lot of different things. A lot of people want to hear my opinion in books, but I just don't have that set of skills.
Right.
But from being here, just sitting in different classes, taking pictures and listening, I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I took the Writers of the Future course, but ladies and gentlemen, writersoffuture.com, you should take the course, actually. And since then, I have managed to get 70,000 words out. Of course, I went to editing the other day. I was like to pull the rest of my hair out of my head. And I was like, Jesus, how do they do this? As a matter of fact, I was talking about 10 Powers last night. About, I was like, Tim, I said, how far do you go before you stop and go back? I was like, because I effed up, man. I went 70,000 words and then went back. And then it's screwy because if you want to change something, it changes.
I don't know
how y'all do that. I have no idea how y'all do
that. It takes a bit of persistence.
Yes, I see that. And a friend of mine was like, what do you mean? I said, well, I want to change these two paragraphs, but if I do, the whole story is going to change, and away we go. But anyway, we got to go, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Mark for hanging out with us, and we'll be back soon.
All right.